for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicking. Virginia's minimum wage will not be going up anytime soon. Proposed gun bills are more likely to become campaign ads this fall, and some Virginians may be paying higher state income taxes in exchange for the federal tax cut. General Assembly news and more coming up on the podcast. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, January 22nd.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The minimum wage in Virginia is $7.25 an hour, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. It's not about to change anytime soon, thanks to a party-line vote in the General Assembly. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Low-wage workers in Virginia are not about to get a raise anytime soon. That's because the Virginia State Senate is rejecting a proposal to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Republican Senator Mark Openshain of Rockingham County says raising the minimum wage wouldn't really benefit the people supporters are hoping to help.
The problem with this is that a lot of jobs are going to disappear. It's not just that people are not going to see increasing wages. It's going to see their jobs go away.
Senate Democratic leader Dick Saslaw questioned why any business would want to pay the minimum wage anyway.
Quite frankly, if your business plan says that you can't pay more than $7.25 an hour, you're really not long for this world. I wouldn't hire anybody who would work for $7.25 an hour.
Some were hopeful that the minimum wage might be gaining traction this year because it got out of committee. But Democrats believe Republicans just wanted to get it to the Senate floor for some election year grandstanding. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, Michael Pope.
Meanwhile, legislation to legalize casinos in Virginia is advancing in the General Assembly, but the odds of passage are still unclear. The State Senate's General Laws and Technology Committee approved a pro-casino bill with bipartisan support on Monday. That legislation would allow developers to build casinos in Bristol, Danville, and Portsmouth if residents approved local referendums. The legislation now also lets the Pamunkey Indian Tribe build casinos in Richmond and Norfolk with local approval. Supporters of casinos said Monday's vote was a good first step, but it's unknown if Republican leaders will let the measure advance much further. And Governor Ralph Northam has voiced concerns about casino legalization being rushed through without proper study. Meanwhile, proposed gun bills are more likely to become campaign ads this fall. Republicans who control the General Assembly have voted down many gun control bills backed by Democrats. And Governor Ralph Northam has made clear that he will block gun rights legislation supported by Republicans. Democrats are pushing for a so-called red flag measure to take away guns temporarily from people who are considered dangerous. A number of other states have passed similar measures since a mass shooting at a Florida high school last year. Republicans back a bill that would make it easier to carry guns in a place of worship, among other bills. Both parties are likely to use gun issues during Virginia's legislative elections later this year. 7th District Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger begins work this week with her new committee assignments in House Foreign Affairs and Agriculture. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
She says they were her top choices. The former CIA officer who worked in Western Europe recruiting spies and specializing in counterterrorism and nuclear proliferation says foreign affairs is a good fit.
I hope my perspective of having spent time overseas working on behalf of the United States government is something that will be helpful to my colleagues. I hope that it will allow me to make good, sound, informed decisions.
As for the House Agriculture Committee, she says it will focus on policy and also food security issues.
I'm excited about playing a strong role in ensuring that kids in school aren't going hungry and that families know that they reliably will be able to one of their most basic needs.
She begins committee assignments this week.
The National Institutes of Health has named a University of Virginia research team as having one of last year's most promising medical advances. And Charles Fishburne has that story.
It may take decades to complete, but NIH has reached far into a quiet laboratory at UVA School of Medicine and found great promise in the battle against brain disease and Alzheimer's.
We were not expecting it.
Sandra DeMosquita is a member of the team that believes impairments in the lymphatic vessels that carry waste from the brain could be major contributors to both Alzheimer's and cognitive decline that comes with age.
We showed that in Alzheimer's disease mice that have impaired lymphatic drainage at the level of the central nervous system show worsening of this waste accumulation in the brain, and they actually present worse cognitive behavior.
He says next they need to learn why and apply the research to humans. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally today, tax season is looming, and it will be the first year that taxpayers get the full picture of how federal tax cuts will affect them. But some families may be surprised by an unintended consequence, higher state income taxes. And that has left lawmakers with a tough choice, Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Spend it or give it back. That's the choice state lawmakers have struggled with ever since they heard the federal tax cuts could lead to hundreds of millions of dollars in extra revenue. How does a tax cut result in extra revenue? To help explain, here's Rob Myers.
I'm a stay-at-home dad. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
His wife brings in about $100,000 a year. They have a mortgage, student loan debt, and pay property taxes. They normally itemize their deductions. Myers pulls up his returns from last year.
All right, so itemized deduction, I believe.
The benefit of the new tax cut is the higher standard deduction. If the Myers family opts to take it, they'll save about $800. But in Virginia, like many other states, if you take the standard deduction at the federal level, you have to take it at the state level, and it's not nearly as high.
So our awesome $800 boon comes down to $300 once I factor in paying extra to the state.
$500 less for him, $500 more for Virginia. According to state officials, about a quarter of taxpayers will be impacted. Add it all up, and it's a lot of extra revenue for the state. But for Myers, it's a fluke, not the result of deliberate policymaking.
Is it right? Is that really the standard that we want to set? Oh, they can afford it. So regardless of how it came about, that's what we're going to do. I think a lot of people would be hesitant to set that precedent.
Virginia Republicans agree. They want to raise the state standard deduction and allow people to itemize. They say it's tax relief to middle-class families. John Hicks, with the National Association of State Budget Officers, says it's in line with what many other states have already done.
Georgia, Idaho, Missouri, they didn't want a change that was voted on by federal officials to drive the results in their own state.
Others have taken the money and run. Louisiana filled a looming budget deficit. Kansas bolstered public education. And Colorado has earmarked the money for improving roads. Hicks says the chance for revenue without voting to raise taxes doesn't come along often.
This is a rare occasion. It was 1986 that is the last time that something this substantial happened at the federal level that permitted states to make these choices. So it's been over a generation.
In Virginia, Democrats are ready to jump on that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. In addition to pay raises for teachers and expanding rural internet access, the governor wants to return much of the money to lower income earners, who he says aren't seeing as much benefit from the federal tax cuts. Like Sheba Williams, more than half of Virginia's filers make below $50,000 a year.
You know, to be completely honest, where I am now, there's no room for savings.
Williams is a barber who supports 3 children on about $30,000 a year. She could benefit under the governor's plan and thinks it's a good one.
You know, I wish nobody had to pay taxes, but if we're to talk about bettering our society as a whole, then some sacrifices have to be made.
Democrats say their proposal will have more impact on more people. Republicans say it relies on a sneaky tax raise. Whatever agreement they come to, they'll have to do it fast. Filing season begins at the end of the month. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Tuesday.